Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's the Friday episode, I think, there. And you get it on Thursday evening if you're an IFS subscriber. So how about that? I don't know. Anything going on?
We've been quite efficient this week with our pod recording schedule.
Yeah.
Which means that occasionally we can give ourselves like a couple of pod free days.
Yeah.
Which we managed to do to work on other things or do nothing. And this week, Andy, I've been experimenting with a bit of doing nothing.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got quite a lot on my to-do list.
You just suck it off.
No, I've done some of it. It's a new system where traditionally what I've done is I've liked to accumulate large to-do lists and then try and like launch a blitzkrieg type assault on them.
Yeah.
And it gives me a sort of, I suppose it's the addict in me, it gives me a sort of a buzz to build things up.
Yeah.
Out of busyness, where you know you're putting things off and you're like, oh, I haven't got time for that, and then you build it up, and then you get a couple of spare days and you go bananas and try to like obliterate a number of different tasks, admin things, you know, whatever, all at once, and then you end the day sort of feeling a strange sense of exhaustion but elation. Do you know what I mean?
There's a huge gulf between that feeling when you've got stuff to do and you keep putting it off. And you go, I'll do that later on, compared to when you actually do them. And you just think, well, that took fucking 3 minutes. I could have done that a week on Tuesday.
But if you do loads of them all at once, and then you end the day and you're knackered, but you feel sort of elated and you get a huge rush from it.
Yeah.
And you feel, and sometimes I become like fucking Jack the Biscuit. I'm like, I'm swaggering about the place because I suddenly, in my head, feel like I'm sort of Superman. But it's not good. And I'm trying to do a thing whereby I just do one or two things.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then balance the time out with doing a bit of nothing, a bit of lovely doing nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, rather than have a list and go, right, I've got 10 emails to send or, like, 10 bits of admin to do. It's like, no, fuck that. I'll do one or two. And then I'll lie about. Maybe I'll read a book.
Mm.
Earlier today, mate, I spent 20 minutes simply cuddling my dog, Cookie. It was consensual. What happened was I was in the Vita Modular doing a call this morning. And in the meantime, my wife went out. And then when I came back in, the dog was on its own. And obviously, Cookie is a very anxious, neurotic dog, really.
Yeah.
So we've started playing music for her, which seems to relax her.
And
there's a playlist. There's a few playlists on Spotify called Music for Anxious Puppies,
right?
Which she seems to like. Well, I like this stuff. Who did you say it was again? Well, it's a compilation, Cookie. It's like not one particular artist. It's more like a genre playlist. Well, I really got most of it. Almost every song I found very good and relaxing. I don't know. I think my wife had just left on some sort of classical playlist.
Right. Oh, she's got sophisticated taste then. The dog, your wife.
The dog, yeah. Clearly my wife doesn't because she's married to me. But the dog, well, the dog seemed to like it. And I got to tell you, Andy, it made me feel really posh. Right. I came in and I heard this classical music playing and I sort of, I don't know, I felt like, I don't know, like Noel Coward. or something. There I was in my house on my own, wandering about, listening to this fucking classical music, right? My first instinct was, classical music, get it out of my fucking ears. Yeah, I'm going to be sick. Right? But then I realised, no, that's just what I'm conditioned to feel when I hear classical music. And give it a go. The dog likes it. If it's good enough for a dog, why shouldn't it be good enough for you?
I like your bit of classical.
Yeah, I gave into it, right? And I was like, yeah, it's quite nice. I feel really posh here. I felt like I wanted to put on a suit or a smoking jacket.
Did you feel like Ray Winston in that interview last weekend where he got some sashimi, whatever it was, for his dinner?
Yeah,
his Sunday dinner.
That's what I felt like. I felt like someone who was posh enough, who'd elevated himself far enough away from the slums that he was able to drink tea from a bone china cup in a hotel lobby. So then I just thought, I've got quite a few things to do here, but you know what? It's not often I get to ask myself. So I looked at a dog. Dog looked at me. I patted the sofa. The dog jumped up next to me, and I went, I'll tell you what, I've got a bit of spare time. Let's have a little cuddle.
Let's have a little cuddle.
And I lay on the sofa, cuddling the dog and listening to classical music.
Well, that
and
sounds
it was
delightful.
Really nice.
That sounds
it was
delightful.
Really nice. And I neglected some chores, like tasks, bits of admin, but nothing. End of the day, not the sort of shit that the world's going to fall in if I just do it tomorrow or the next day or even fucking next week.
And if you don't have a dog, you can still put the classical music on and maybe just cuddle a cushion.
Yeah. Another good thing that I've done in the past when I didn't have pets but wanted them is you get a sock. If you've got a large sock, like a football sock, more's the better. But any sock will do. Go out the front. If there's gravel in your drive, if you're lucky enough to have a gravel driveway, like I don't doubt Ray Winston does, right, then get some gravel from there. If not, just walk up your street. You'll find some gravel.
Someone nearby will have some gravel. Like one
Someone
of the neighbours.
Will have some gravel.
Just take it off a neighbour's drive.
If you're doing it in the daytime, they'll be at work. So just take that. And then what I like to do is, you can, if you've got time, sew some buttons to the sock, right, to serve as eyes.
So eyes, yeah.
Right. Or if you don't have time for that, just get a Sharpie and just draw eyes and nose and a mouth. And tie a knot at one end so the gravel doesn't fall out.
Yeah.
And then just cuddle that.
Cuddle
the fuck out of that. And pretend it's, you can pretend it's a cat or you can pretend it's a puppy, whatever you want. Yeah. Pretend it's a fucking ferret if you want. And that's a really good, before I had pets, that was something that I had sometimes. So I just fill a sock with gravel.
Yeah, I remember you did that backstage quite a lot on our first tour that we did.
Yeah, because I had anxiety, didn't I?
Get in the zone.
Well, I had anxiety, and you could see that I was suffering from anxiety, and because I was mainly because I was away from, well, in those days it would have been Nelson, RIP, and you were quite kind actually, because one night I thought I wasn't going to go on stage, and you actually, well, you didn't go out yourself, but you sent out one of the people from, I think it was the, was it a stand in Newcastle?
It was the stand in Newcastle, yeah.
Sent them out, said, right, Is 5 quid, go to M&S or Millets, wherever's still open, get a sock, right? Ideally, get one sock, because I don't want to waste money, but just get your hands on some socks and go to the nearest gravel place, right?
Yeah.
And just do it, because if not, you're not going to have a fucking show tonight.
I sent
right?
my local B&M, which you can get both at. You can get gravel and socks at B&M, but the nearest B&M was kind of on the outskirts of the city, so you had to get an Uber there and back.
Get an Uber.
But I only gave him a fiver. I think that was enough.
Yeah.
And he did the business. And
it was good, and it got me on stage. All I did, you quickly gave me the sock with the gravel. Oh, you can also use cat litter if you can't find gravel. That's another thing.
Same
that's
thing,
a
isn't
substitute.
It?
And yeah, make your own pet. Give it a cuddle. Put some headphones in. Listening to a bit of classical music. Doesn't matter what. Just type in classical music on Spotify. And you'll be right as rain. Five minutes later, Bob's your uncle. You're ready for anything.
That's right. I've got to say, I feel quite nauseous at the minute. That's not anything to do with anything
from
you've
what
said.
I just said.
No, no. Oh. Just before we've done this, I've had a cup of coffee. And a Belgian chocolate eclair. Half price.
Me
in
and you. Oh, fuck it. We'll be annoying the listeners now. The insight that we're giving them to our luxurious fucking lifestyle.
Doing nothing and eating eclairs.
Yeah, me sitting just cuddling a dog listening to classical music while you're up in Sunderland having a coffee and a Belgian chocolate.
No, listen, I should qualify it. The coffee's just instant. You know, I haven't gone out and bought a coffee or made it in a machine or anything. Just instant, yeah, out of a jar. And the eclair is half price in Sainsbury's at the minute, so 75 pence for two eclairs.
I'll get down there. I'm thinking of going out after this to the shops.
If you're on the Nectar system. Like they do Nectar prices, so they've got like an apartheid kind of policy going on. If you're not signed up to the Nectar card thing, you don't get these special offers.
But isn't that a Big Brother deep state citizen tracking system?
Something like that. I don't care though.
It's worth it.
I'm not bothered about being tracked because I don't pay any attention to that kind of thing.
I let the government think they can track me, but what they don't know is I let them have their fun. What they don't know is if I wanted to go off grid, I could do it like that.
Yeah, you've got everything prepared, haven't you? You're a prepper.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'd just fucking disappear. And they'd be like, if they were watching a screen and I was represented by like a green blinking dot, right?
Someone was watching. On a monitor.
They track us on submarines, don't they? The government have submarines. There are submarines under the Thames tracking me. Boop. Yeah.
Yep.
And they go, tracking, time to lady, 500 yards.
The lady currently sighted outside neighbour's driveway. He's going in now, collecting gravel, putting it in a sock. Standard behaviour.
Where's he gone? He's disappeared. But that's not possible. He was there and then suddenly he wasn't. Check again. I've checked all the systems, sir.
He's gone. He's vanished.
I've never seen anything like this before. I think Delaney has executed ghost protocol.
Is there a chance that he's spontaneously combusted? I don't think so.
Although he does seem the type. But I don't know what's happened. One minute, he's gone. The dot has ceased to blink.
Reboot the system at once. There must be an issue.
Boop, 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 boop.
We've rebooted. He's still not there. He's gone.
That's it. That's rogue. What I'll fucking do to those cunts.
He's gone off grid.
Sam Delaney. Fucking ghost protocol.
I'd heard of someone who's known to me, let's just say, who has alternative views about things, and they were looking to go off grid and do like a self build somewhere in the countryside, or get somewhere that's in the countryside that's remote where you can go off. I don't know what off grid means. I think it's when you're like not near any shops. I think that's when you haven't.
It's when you've got one bar or less signal. If you look it up, that's the definition. Yeah. If you've got one bar of signal or less, because let's be honest, one bar of signal is like having no bar of signal anyway. You can't do anything on one bar.
If you haven't got a branch of the spa within 20 minutes drive,
you're off grid.
You're off grid. But they couldn't find anywhere because all the other preppers had already snapped up all of these kind of locations. So these the wannabe preppers weren't prepped enough. They'd under-prepped. And now they've got to just live among the rest of us like everyone else.
I read I've got a book recommendation. It's called The Bee Sting. It's an Irish book by a guy called Paul Murray. And I read it, I read it when I was away in Guernsey. Anyway, it's a good book. It's funny, right?
Is it fiction or non-fiction?
It's a novel, and it's set in modern day sort of rural Ireland, and a bit in Dublin as well. But anyway, there is a strong prepping. It's not a book all about prepping, but one of the main characters is down on his luck. Successful businessman whose business then starts to falter. Things start going wrong in his life. And bang, before you know it, he's fallen in with a nutter and they are prepping in the woods.
Prepping the fuck out of stuff.
They're prepping their fucking nuts off in this forest in Ireland. And they're doing all sorts. But it was really dangerous for me because alone in Guernsey, I was reading this book and I was deep into this book. It's a really, really good book. Like one of those books where you're like, you keep looking for the opportunity to get a next session in with it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, I'll have a session on that later. And but towards the end, they get so into prepping, and they're talking about all the reasons why they have to prep. And although the character, who, there's two of them who are getting into it, and one of them's like a real fucking loon who's been online researching it all for years, and he's giving you all his theories on why it's necessary to prep. And I think it's supposed to be funny, and it's a parody, and I'm supposed to laugh at him. But unfortunately, I don't know whether it was about being alone for so long last week and away from civilization, but I just really bought into it, and I started to really freak out about the collapse of civilization.
Right.
And I started taking all of their prepping activities in the book to heart. I'm thinking, shit, man, when the grid goes down, because I always think, well, I always think to myself, ah, fuck it. If the grid goes down, I'll work. I can't really do any survival shit, but I'll work it out when it when I need to. I'll just quickly go online. I'll just quickly Google it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, the whole point is, mate, the grid will be down. There'll be no fucking internet or Google.
We'd have to start doing these podcasts now. By postcard or letters. Yeah,
sending postcards out to everyone. It'll be a nightmare. It'll be like that time when I'd send badges out to everyone.
Mm.
Oh, my God. I'd never want to go back to that again. That was like my own personal Vietnam.
Yeah. And then, like the
sending a load of badges out.
Like the KLF, you set fire to the ones that were left. It went to a Scottish island and burned them all.
We had to. We had to. But yeah, I sort of started thinking, oh shit, maybe I better learn now how to survive. And in this book, they build a well. They build a well. They use water diviners, which is something I'm interested in. You know,
is there not going to be any water then when we go off grid?
No, it'll all be all the reservoirs and the water purifying systems will be fucked.
God, fucking hell!
They're all probably run by computers, aren't they? The Russians, the Russians, or the Chinese, or maybe they'll team up. Will fucking hack our water systems and release like loads of poison and shit into them.
Right.
I know if we were satirical, we'd go, oh, you mean like there already is in this bloody country under the Tories, right? But they'll do it even worse, won't they, the Russians? And then we'll be like, fuck. So what you can do is you can get water diviners. You know those things where you just walk around with a stick and it points to where water is?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we'll get one of them.
Right.
And it points to where the water is. And then you just start fucking digging. So it's very much in our zone of interest, let's say.
Digging interest. Yeah.
And you dig, and eventually you hit water, and then you just make a well. And then you just, all you need is water for yourself. But you also then, if you're the only one who's built a well in your area, right, word gets around double quick. There's a geezer, you know, Sam Delaney, Ghost Protocol. He's built a well in his back garden.
Let's get him.
So he's got access to fresh water. Let's go around there and get his water.
Yeah.
So you have to have a gun. You just have to.
Yeah.
Because it'll be within 24 hours, all the usual rules of civility will be dropped. And people will be round here saying, give me some of that fucking water. And you know me, I'm a generous person. I'm not going to be tight. But at the same time, there might only be enough water to keep me and the kids and the wife and Cookie and Bobby alive.
It's a big family now, yeah.
Exactly. So I'd have to draw a line somewhere. So I have to have a gun as well.
I saw a thing recently, and it was, I think it was some footage of an actual prepper, part of a prepper community, and someone who'd been interviewed. And the interviewer said, if it all goes down and, you know, you're the only one that's got any water and people come with guns and they want to take the stuff that you've got because you've prepped, how will you cope? And he said something like, well, what we'll do is we'll make them a lovely pot of broth. And we'll serve them some broth, and we'll just try and reason with them. We'll just talk to them.
Yeah.
And then they'll have their broth, and they'll feel happy after that, and then everything will be okay, and they'll go away. And I thought, fucking hell, mate, that's not going to be like that.
Bit naive for a prepper. I mean, it doesn't make sense. On the one hand, you're like a prepper, so you pride yourself on thinking through every scenario.
Well, you'd think so.
But on the other hand, you're like, oh, I'll just reason with him. I'm sure it'll work out.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
That reminds me of when Neil Kinnock went on Breakfast News during the 1987 election and they said, right, Kinnock, I don't know who's interviewing him, probably fucking Frank Boff. Right? Yeah. He was there with a massive fucking spliff on the go and he's gone, yeah, you're still behind nuclear disarmament, are you? And Kinnock's gone, yeah, that's right. And he's gone, but you know the Russians want to fucking invade. And he's like, yeah, well. And he goes, well, what are you suggesting? If we haven't got any nuclear weapons and the Russians with their massive army decide they want to invade the UK, what are we supposed to do to defend ourselves? And Kinnock went, well, he genuinely said this, right? He went, well, it's going to have to, he said, it's going to have to be guerrilla warfare, isn't it? And they went, what the fuck? And he went, wow. Well, you know, we're going to have to disappear into the hills and fight a guerrilla war. You know, look at the Afghans. They've done it perfectly well.
It's not against
the Soviets for years.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, he was never going to win an election in 1987 anyway, I don't think. But when he said that, it was like,
was it?
Oh, my. Like, and the polls overnight went like, even staunch lefties were thinking to themselves, fuck that.
Fucking hell.
Count me out, Squire.
I thought Michael Foot was bad. This cunt's worse.
He wants me to fucking go and fight in the hills. No fucking way.
Do you want some Jeff Capes content?
Yeah.
Did you see this long tweet that was sent to us? It came from, where is he? Another Jeff, Jeff Quincy. And it's a tweet from The Secret DJ on Twitter, who is a secret DJ.
Right.
And it was in a reply to someone posted a picture of Jeff Capes. And he says, Jeff Capes was many things. He was Britain's strongest man, then became world's strongest man, noted breeder of budgies, advocate for fish and chips. Most significantly, a former policeman. And the secret DJ then goes on to say, I knew him only as Little John. He was in Panto in the theatre I worked in, and at the time had just won World's Strongest Man. We got a sense of him being a giant knobhead when we'd be working very hard. Backstage work is brutal, and mostly at night. And he'd lumber over when we were sweating our bollocks off, wearing tights, and grab something impossibly heavy, hold it out at full arm's length, and go, Hey, look, lads, look, but you can't do this. And one of us would go, of course we can't, Jeff, you are literally the world's strongest man. And we'd just walk off, leaving him standing there holding something stupidly heavy on his own.
But I wouldn't find that annoying at all. I'd be like, well, it's Jeff Capes. I mean, if I met Jeff Capes, I'd want him to do something strong.
Yeah, and then they started baiting him. And the secret DJ says, this turned out to be surprisingly easy. We'd screw things to the stage floor and ask him if he could lift it. We'd wait in the green room till he'd ordered his six dinners, of course, and then run in and go, Jeff, we've just seen some kids round your car. And he'd jump up and lumber off, come back 10 minutes later sweating, saying, oh, they'd gone by the time I got there. Just lucky you guys saw them. And he'd say, we are here for you, Jeff. It's a nice car. And Frankie Howard thought he was a wanker as well, and Stu Francis. So that'd be a good pantomime, that, with those three.
I didn't know, or I'd forgotten he was ex-Old Bill.
Yeah, he was. I don't think he was a proper one. I think he was like a part-timer or something, like a special. Yeah.
Specials, mate, are the weirdest people in Britain.
I've never seen one for so long. Are they
still around? They're weirder than preppers. I used to have a mate who was Old Bill, and he said to me that this one guy had been a special at his station for years, and he turned up to work in a Ferrari, right? Mm. He was a self-made man who'd, like, earned loads of dosh, sort of retired, and had just decided that all he wanted to spend his time doing was being a pretend policeman.
Jesus.
Weird, right?
Fucking hell. Yeah, I've never seen them around for ages. There used to be a couple of them that used to do the rounds.
How can you tell the difference?
They've got different badges on, haven't they?
Right.
I think they've got, like, I don't know, I can't remember now.
I'm a special policeman.
But I saw more coppers than I've seen anywhere recently when Middlesbrough came to play Sunderland earlier in the year. Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't. It was the Newcastle match. The Newcastle match last month. That was heavily policed. And the majority of the police, they were just all like fucking 15. And they just looked like normal people. They didn't look like coppers used to look like. It was weird.
Ordinary men.
Yeah, they're just normal men. Just innocent men.
Yeah.
We're recording this on the day when that inquiry about that fucking bastard.
Wayne Cousins
has come out. So, yeah, lots to think about.
Did you have any chance to look any more at the ideas spreadsheet?
No, I haven't. I thought we'll do maybe a couple of special episodes looking at it over Easter.
Oh, I'd love that.
The Easter weekend, we'll just pre-record.
There's some really good stuff.
Spreadsheet special. And we were going to look at the British Telecom Tower, but I think that's a history box now.
Yeah, I think so. I think it might be like one or two episodes Telecom Tower.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth a look at it, isn't it?
I'd still feel quite nauseous, to be quite honest.
But, are you struggling, mate?
A little bit.
Are you struggling to pod?
A little bit, yeah.
You're putting it down to the truffle and the coffee.
What I did after I'd said that I'd been drinking the coffee and eating the eclair, I then drank some more coffee, and that made me feel worse, which was probably foolish. But I'm not a doctor.
I'm supposed to be going out tonight, but I'm sitting here thinking I might cancel it.
Yeah. But staying in's better, I think.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? I've been going out a bit recently. It's not nice.
Too much. It's too much.
It isn't nice.
No.
Yesterday, I was supposed to go out in the day for a meeting. It got cancelled, and I was just like, that special delight. There's probably a German word for it, isn't there? The special delight felt when social plans are cancelled last minute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I went for a walk in the park and invited my mum. I walked the dog and I went to a park near my mum's house. I said, come out. And she said that she'd had a arrangement cancelled as well. So it was quite cosmos-y.
Mm.
And I said, what was your arrangement? I can't remember if I told you this, but my mum's got this friend, this gay bloke, and he lives in the forest, right?
Oh, yeah.
And she always says that, and I think, but is it really the forest? But it's really the forest. There's no roads lead to his house.
Is he a prepper?
It's like that, because his house has no roads. It's just in some woods.
Wow.
And you have to go to the nearest station and then walk. Did I ever tell you a story about when Rod timed the walk?
No.
Have I told you that one?
You might have. It rings a bell, but let's have it again.
They went, right? They went to visit this geezer in the woods, and Rod hadn't been there. My mum went, when they got to the station, my mum went, I'm going to call a taxi, and I'm going to get a taxi to take us from the station to as close to the house as you can possibly get to limit the amount of walking we have to do through the woods. And Rod was like, no, let's walk. And she went, no, I'm tired, I don't want to walk, I'm not in the mood, it'll cost £5, I'm going to get the taxi. And he went, don't be ridiculous. So they went back and forth, and he was like, it's a 10-minute walk, and she's going, it's not, it's like a half-hour walk, back forth. In the end, she won, of course.
She'd they been before, I guess, and he hadn't.
She'd been before,
knew,
he didn't know.
He knew how long it was.
He'd looked at a map, And right. he's like, he'd been calculating how long he thinks it would take based on his map knowledge. Anyway, that was that. The following week, he went to go and visit his son, who lives like not far away from this house, right? But when I say not far away, his son lives in Brighton. This is elsewhere in Sussex. So it's like three stops away, right? He goes, my mum thinks he's gone for the day, but in fact, he's back by lunchtime. She went, you're back soon. What did you do? And he went, oh, I went and met my son in Brighton. And she went, then what did you do? Did you go for lunch? He went, no, actually, we got on the train and we went back to, I won't say the name of the station where her friend lives, but, you know. We went there. And she went, what'd you go there for? He goes, well, I decided that I would time the walk to see who was right, you or me. And I got off the train and I walked to the house from the station. She went, and you took your son with you? Yeah, he came too. Did you explain to him why you're doing it? Yeah, I explained. He was up for it.
He said he wanted to verify that.
We walked to the house. We timed it on our phones. She went, when you got to the house, did you knock and say hello to our friend? No.
No.
He wasn't expecting us.
We touched the front door with the tips of our noses.
Yes.
So we could get an exact timing.
And then they turned around and walked back to the station. And then he got on the train. His son went back to Brighton. He went back to London. And he said, and I can confirm, and he had some specific time. It was like 21 minutes. So a bit longer than I thought, but a lot less than you thought.
Fucking hell.
And she's like, why did you do it? And he said, because I wanted to make my point, and I feel I've made it now. Yeah.
Well, good for you. Fucking arsehole.
That's what I'm fucking dealing with. That's what she's dealing with.
Yeah. It's astounding that they're still going strong, if indeed they are.
Fucking extraordinary. Anyway, she was going to that house in the woods and it got cancelled because there's now an arrangement. No, there's a dirt track that leads to the house, yeah?
Right.
And the house is... and you can no car, she reckons no car, especially not their Nissan Micra, right, can handle this dirt track. And according to her mate, who lives on his own in the woods, only one vehicle for miles around can handle this dirt track. And it belongs to a guy he knows. I think it's like the local plumber who's got like a 4x4 truck, one of those flatbed trucks. He goes, only Steve can get down the track. So if you're feeling tired, I don't think I'm going to be able to walk it to your house down that track. You know, I've got a bad hip and Rod's not feeling well either. And he went, well, the taxis can't even do it anymore. They'll refuse.
Ooh.
So my plumber, Steve, I'll get him to pick you up from the station and he will drive you down the track to the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gone, well, I don't know. He's your mate. He's a plumber. I mean... he's probably got better things to do. He went, no, don't worry, I've got an arrangement with him. She went, what do you mean? He goes, I pay him a certain amount a month to basically give me or any of my friends lifts down the dirt track. Yeah. It reminded me a lot of Michael Winner's arrangement with that cinema Kensington. Yeah. Right, it's a flat rate. And some months it might be like half a dozen lifts, but other months it might be none.
Nothing at all, yeah. But it evens itself out, yeah.
So, one of them goes, oh, okay, well, all right. But she did think that's weird. And then she called to remind me, just to remind you, we're coming, I think she called 2 days before. And he goes, yeah, I've just got to check that Steve's definitely going to be there. Just to clarify, if Steve can't do it, is there no way you're prepared to walk? And she went, no, it's impossible with my hip and Rod's illness. It's impossible to walk. No, we wouldn't be able to come. He went, okay, no problem. I'm just gonna have to call Steve and sort a few things out. She went, well, what's the problem? Just tell me what the problem is. Well, Steve's in hospital. He's fine. He's 80% certain he'll be out in time to give you this lift. I've been calling him. He's got his mobile in hospital. She went, what's he in hospital for? Well, he's had a bad throat. Well, he ain't going to hospital with a bad throat. Well, he's got cancer of the throat.
Fucking hell.
Right, he's got cancer in the throat, yeah. So what's he in hospital? I don't know, some sort of emergency. He's had to go in for a procedure on his cancerous throat, yeah. But now, Because, by the way, I should tell you, it's her. It was her friend's birthday. That was why he was so desperate for her to go there, because she was bringing a cake that she'd baked for him.
Yeah.
Right? And she's gone, so you've been calling him in hospital, and he's in there with throat cancer, having a procedure, an emergency procedure done. But you've been calling him to chase him up to make sure that he's going to be out by your birthday so he can pick me up from the station. Yeah, it sounds worse than this. Just leave it with me. Calls up the night before and goes, right, Steve's being discharged in the morning. It's been confirmed. They just want to keep an eye on him overnight. He's going to be discharged in the morning. And he has agreed. I've been on the phone to him. I've convinced him to come straight from the hospital to the train station. He'll pick you up. He'll drive you down the track, he'll drop you off, and then he'll go home. And then when we're done having our tea and cake, he'll come back. And my mum's like, you can't make the guy come straight from hospital with his cancer throat to pick me up and drive me down the track.
He doesn't need a throat to drive. It's fine.
I've been looking forward to his tea and cake all week. It's my birthday.
What do you think I pissed Steve for?
And she was like, with a heavy heart, I have to say, no, I am not coming for your birthday. And he's like, what? And she's got, I cannot do this to Steve. You never even met him. You don't know Steve. You don't know how resilient he is. She went, I just can't do it. My mum's a cancer survivor herself. So there's a sense of camaraderie.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't do it. You've been on the blower to him while he's been in hospital the whole time. Poor cunt can probably barely talk. Yes, Steve. Steve, it's John here. Yes, now listen. About this lift we need down the dirt track, I do hope you're going to be able to confirm that Wednesday's not going to be a problem.
Well, it all depends, you see. I'm being monitored.
I'll let her know that you won't be speaking much.
It's okay. She's a talker more than a listener anyway, to be honest.
If you just nod your head a lot, it'll be fine.
Now, the thing is, Steve, you see, she's bringing a cake, and it's a rather delicious cake. It's a special cake, because, as you know, it is my birthday.
I'm looking forward to this cake quite a lot.
Now, I've been thinking of little else, Steve. I know you have your own concerns and preoccupations at the moment, and I don't mean to minimise them, but I really do need this cake to make my birthday special. And the thing is, it does get rather bumpy on the dirt track. So I need you to be extra specially careful. What we don't want is the cake becoming damaged. Do you understand, look, Steve?
I understand.
Look, Steve, I'm not getting any younger. Let's be honest. There may not be that many more cakes.
This is precious cake time. And each day it's ticking away.
Yes, I suppose I could get a cake next month, but it's not the same. That's not my birthday.
It's not my birthday, that's just a cake. A
fucking
birthday
hell,
cake,
Steve.
Something different altogether. So that's why my mum was free.
That was her engagement that was cancelled.
Yeah.
Shall we do some predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Brentford versus Chelsea.
Oh, West London derby.
Is it?
It certainly is, yeah.
Okay.
I think... I think that's going to be... Actually, Brentford were a bit shit against us. I think they're going to bounce back. I think it's going to be 2-2.
I'll go for 1-1. Spurs versus Crystal Palace, another London derby. I'll go first on this. I think that Spurs will win this one 2-1.
Yeah, Spurs will win this one, won't they? I'm going to say 2-0.
All right. Everton versus your very own West Ham.
I see this as being 1-1.
I think Everton will win this 1-0. Norwich versus Sunderland. And I think that this will be 3-1 to Norwich.
I'm going to say 3-0 to Norwich.
I'm going to change mine to 3-0 as well, if that's all right, because the last couple of times I've gone for a score and then changed it in my head and then said something else. So I'm going to go 3-0 as well. It'll be 3-1 now after I've said that. Newcastle versus Wolves, the last one.
Newcastle versus Wolves will be I think this will be Newcastle 0, Wolves 1.
I think Newcastle will win this 3-1. So there we are. That we've predicted. That's it. We've done it. It's as simple as that.
Done.
That's the predictions done. They're locked in.
Yeah, locked in.
And that's it from the episode. And we'll be back after the weekend. Enjoy your weekends, everyone.
Yes,
and
we'll
see you on the other side. Thank you very much for listening. And that's that.
That's that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.